Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you from the great state of Pennsylvania. We want to welcome you once again to our podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about faith that believes. And before we get into that subject, I want to let my sweetheart introduce herself again, because we always know that we may have new people coming to listen to our podcast that has not heard us before. So as we get into the subject, we're both going to share some great insights into the Word, and she's such a valuable asset to me in this ministry that we have here, as well as other things that God is using us to teach on. So without further ado, sweetheart.
Hi, everyone. God bless you. We are so excited to be able to share this time with you. I hope you certainly believe us when we say that we pray about this time beforehand. We pray about it after we share, and we truly are excited about the Holy Spirit reaching you, speaking to you, transforming you, and giving you this word with a greater understanding, a revelation of what he wants you to know, to have, to do during this time. So I do encourage you to open up your heart and listen to what the Holy Spirit has for you, as he does with each one of us. This is not limited to those on that end. It's also here for us on this end. So praise God for what he has done and will continue to do.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, like I said, today we're going to start out with the subject of faith that believes. I want to talk about prayer in regard to that. And we're going to start with our text of Mark chapter 11, verse 24. And I'm going to read from the New King James, and then I'll probably quote the original translation of the King James, because I've committed a lot of that to memory already. So it says here, Mark 11, 24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Well, the traditional King James says, "Therefore those things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Now, let me ask this question. Does God really mean anything you desire you can have? What do you think most people's opinion is on that, sweetheart?
Well, I think that's a very good point, because when we speak about the desires of our heart, we need to understand that it has to be in harmony with God's heart. Our heart doesn't necessarily align always with what God wants. And the beauty of it is that even though we have these desires for ourselves, when we trust our life unto God's hands, his desires for us are much better than our desires for ourselves. So it's a good thing to trust God. And no, it's not just any desire. And I think you mentioned before, you know, sometimes we desire something that's not even biblical. Like we may desire somebody to be harmed, somebody who's done us wrong. We may desire somebody else's property. So that doesn't mean that God is going to grant us every single thing we desire. He will grant those things that are in his will. And the right thing to do is to come in alignment. In other words, know the Lord in such a way, in such an intimate, close way, that his desires are our desires. His mind is our mind. His heart is our heart. And then when we are there, then he will grant those desires, because it's his desires anyway.
Amen. That's exactly right, because we're told in James chapter 4, you know, he says, James chapter 4, verse 2 says, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity against God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Well, we'll stop right there. That's a good point to be spoken about desiring things that are outside the will of God. You know, many people do desire. I want to hit the lottery. I want that person to marry that person. And I even had, when I worked in a prayer center of a certain ministry many years ago, I had a person call in, a woman call in, asking me to pray an unspoken prayer request. And, you know, I understand why people think it's fine to ask that kind of a prayer, but basically when we're talking about faith, and we're going to talk about this more in this broadcast, what faith really consists of, you know, is it simply just having faith to believe that God's going to do something? Or is it based upon what we just talked about, you know, basically ascertaining what is the will of God in this situation and knowing whether it's the will of God? Now, we didn't say that specifically, but the point is, if we're praying about something that is His will, then shouldn't we not know what that is?
That's true.
Because how are we going to release faith in that? So with that particular person, that woman, when I finally began to press her on, well, I really can't exercise faith unless I know what it is that I'm praying for, because how do I know what you're asking for is the will of God? Well, when push come to shove, she finally said, okay, well, this is what I'm asking for. I want to marry this certain man, but he's already married.
Oh, wow.
So I want him to divorce his wife and marry me. Well, I couldn't agree with that.
No, of course not.
I couldn't pray that prayer, and I certainly couldn't release faith. You know, so it was God's wisdom for me to not agree with her to pray an unspoken prayer request. Lord, if it be your will, Lord, let whatever this unspoken prayer request come to pass. I would have been in partnership with that.
Wow.
And thank God, you know, that God's given us wisdom not to pray that. So I would even suggest to people, don't pray those kinds of prayers, because we cannot ascertain the will of God through mysteries. Well, if it's His will, it'll happen. That's not the kind of faith that God is looking for. And we're going to talk about that, why that's so. So our next scripture we want to talk about is in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, which kind of clears this up a little bit here. And we'll talk more in depth about this, because I'm going to ask for your input as well, sweetheart, on some of these things as well. I know you're going to provide many great insights into these things. You've been a great benefit to this podcast, so I thank God for you so much.
Thank you.
And it says here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now let me stop right there, because this is actually the verse that many have quoted and said, well, see, there's proof right there. There's proof right there that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, see, that's an incomplete statement. That's an incomplete thought of what God is trying to communicate. Because this is not the confidence we have that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, wait a minute, Brother Keith, because aren't you just contradicting the scripture by saying that that's not true? What I'm saying is this. Verse 14 is contingent upon verse 15, where he says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And here's verse 15. And if we know that He hears us in what we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So that word "and" as a conjunction brings in the second part of this process. It's a two-step process. We're not only asking something according to His will, but we know that it is His will. That's where the confidence is. The confidence isn't simply in asking something as His will, because how are you going to have confidence in something if you don't know it's His will?
That's true.
You have to know it. Well, people say, well, no, that's not how I see it. That's not how my church taught it. My church taught that if something is the will of God, then it will happen. Well, if that's the case, then let me ask this question. Jesus said it's not the will of the Father that anyone should perish. So does that mean we can pray that everybody on earth will be saved?
It doesn't happen like that.
Right. And also Jesus also said about little children that die. He said, it's not the will of your Father that any one of these little ones should perish. So if we pray, Lord, don't let any little ones perish, will it work just like that and no little ones will ever die? Well, I know I'm asking kind of a rhetorical question, but we know that these things happen every day. People perish and go to hell every day. And it isn't enough that we pray that God save everybody on earth, because that's not going to work that way. There's more to it than that. But let's get specifically back to the things I'm talking about in a person's individual life here. You know, when you're praying the will of God, you need to know what the will of God is in order for you to be able to release faith. Because real Bible faith isn't on praying, well, Lord, if it's your will, this happens, or that happens. But somebody will come along and say, well, Brother Keith, I know that's not true, because we know we prayed for certain things and we didn't know if it was the will of God, and God answered the prayer. Praise God, you know. He gave me that job. He gave me that raise, or he did this or that in my life. But I have to say this, for a lot of those things that people are praying for like that, there's certain things that they cannot know the will of God on simply from the word. Because what we're talking about here is first building a relationship with God through his word and through the knowledge of his word, because God and his word are one. So if you're building a relationship with God, you have to be building a relationship with his word, because the word is expressing who God is. So when you know what he said in his word, then you know him. And when he says certain things, then you can ascertain the will of God on that. So for example, you're praying about a job, about taking a job and moving to another state. There's not a verse in the Bible anywhere that says, Keith, I want you to take this job and move to California.
That would be nice to have that clear instruction like that.
Right, and that obviously would have to come through the Holy Spirit. But what do we have in the Word that tells us anything closely or remote to that? Well, one is that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Is it his will for me to move to California and get a job there? That would have to be determined by him and his will for my life. But I know that from the scripture it says he will guide me into all truth, then I can trust that he will lead me into that answer to that question. So therefore, I can't necessarily have faith that it will be California, because I thought it was a number of years ago. But now I come to find out it was Pennsylvania.
Now, how do you, for those that are listening to us, when you say that he will guide you, how did you discard that it was in California? Did the Lord say, no, Keith, I don't want you to go to California? Can you be a little bit more specific in terms of that personal experience? How did you have that assurance that the Holy Spirit was saying no? Even though you have the desire in your heart to go to California, that's not what I have in plan for you.
Right. Well, it's something that, you know, things like that, you continually pray and you seek God for his guidance and direction. And first it starts, obviously, with that relationship with the Lord through the born-again experience where you receive the Holy Spirit that comes to live within you. So it's the Holy Spirit on the inside that will lead and guide a person. Because this is a lot of what Jesus talked about why it was important to receive the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, the Holy Spirit's really just given to you to be a comforter. So, you know, he's there, he's your assurance of your salvation, of going to heaven. And certainly that's true. And that's the most important thing, is that we are born again and we're children of God and we have eternal life. But Amen. He's given to be more than that. He's given to be our guide in our life, to guide us into all truth. All truth in the word, the scriptures, of understanding, of revelation, to comfort us, to guide us, to direct and lead our lives. So when it comes to something like that, praying about, am I supposed to move to California? Well, he's going to speak to you, and he's going to bear witness in your heart, in your spirit. Because how is it that God would require of you to obey him and then hold you accountable for not obeying him if he didn't have a way to give you complete assurance and a witness in your spirit that it's him speaking to you to do a certain thing? You know, it says that the Holy Spirit, that he bears witness in our heart that we are children of God. Well, the same way that he bears witness that we're children of God, that we are born again and that we have the true faith in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the same way he will bear witness with us concerning things we're praying about.
So when we say bear witness, could we sort of like more practical term say that a synonym to that would be have peace towards something?
Yeah, and that's one of the ways that he does that is because, you know, I've heard this said by many ministers in the past, is you know, let the peace of God be the umpire or the ruler in your heart. You know, that if you're praying about something and you don't have peace about it, that's generally a sign from God that that's not his leading, because he leads by his peace. You know, we know this in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, where it says, in all things with prayer and supplication, you know, it says, be anxious for nothing, be worried about nothing, but in all things in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So if you're a person who's like intent upon following the will of God, then, you know, it's going to require a little patience, you know, as you seek God in prayer, get quiet before the Lord, meditate on his word to get that answer in your spirit, because it doesn't always come within the first 30 seconds or the first 5 minutes of prayer.
Right.
Sometimes it may take, you know, some time. It may even take some days. I've prayed about some things for days and for weeks and for months before I made a major decision. And especially when you're going to make major decisions in life, these shouldn't be things that we would be rash about and act quickly on just based on emotion, because we really need to learn how to sift out our own emotions and our own thoughts in a process, because, you know, any of you who've lived long enough on the earth will know that we've had different desires come to our heart, and sometimes the very next day a completely different desire now is leading us to want to do something else.
That's true.
So we need to pray and put those things before God on the altar. And that's exactly what I did about California. Lord, were you really speaking to me to do this? Was this you? What are you speaking to me now that I've met this woman who I'm, you know, now married to, but looking back on it many months ago, is, Lord, is this the right woman for me? Is this the one you called for me? And obviously it's going in the opposite direction to California. I'm going back east, you know, leaving Indiana to go to Pennsylvania. So this is something I continue to pray and seek God for. And it's imperative to know this. When it comes to seeking the will of God, a person has to be willing to obey God. You know, it has a little consequence or no benefit to say, oh, I want the will of God in my life, but yet we're not willing to listen to what he says.
Right, that's true.
So when he speaks, if he doesn't speak what you want to hear, are you going to be willing to obey that?
You know, I wanted to jump in and state something, and it's that I remember hearing once that wonderful man of God, Charles Stanley, who now graduated and is home, his permanent home for eternity. Praise God for his life, and he's blessed so many of us in so many ways, and his word is still teaching many hearts. I remember once he stated that somebody asked him, how do you know when it's the Lord speaking? How do you know when it's God's will? And I remember he said, he used an example. He said, well, you know, like when you're listening to the radio and you're trying to find the right channel that you want. And then he said, but sometimes they're static. He goes, they're static. And you know you're not there yet because there's a lot of static. So you just have to fine tune. So you know that's not it, right? You wouldn't just leave your dial there listening to the static. That doesn't make any sense. It's not right. And so he said, that's how I know personally. He said, there's static in my spirit. There's just this unrest. So I thought that was such a good example, because sometimes we, you know, when we hear God's guidance, the Holy Spirit is going to guide you. All of us, I think everybody would love to have just the Lord in person, right? Appear to us and say, okay, this is what I want. Here's the map. Here are your instructions. Or, hey, just be aware, I'm going to send you an email in a few minutes with all the details of what you have to do. That would be amazing, right? But God is so perfect that he is, nobody communicates better than the Lord. He is the number one communicator. So as you said, if he is holding us accountable to hearing his voice, it's because he knows how to speak to each one of us. He knows how to get his message across, and he knows how to make us understand that it's him, where there is no doubt that it's him. And you know something, honestly, it's a learning process. It's a learning process. This is, as you said, through a relationship. You know, it's like when you meet someone and you're just getting to know their voice. Maybe when they call you the first time on the phone, you're not 100% sure if that's that person until you say, hey, is it you? Right? You get a name validation. But with time, you don't need that person to say, hey, hi, it's me, so-and-so. You just know because you know the voice. So with everything that has been shared so far, really, I believe we have to embrace the fact that God wants us to have a special relationship with him, a personal relationship with him. And through this personal relationship that grows, so will our identifying his voice, removing static, being able to walk with a greater assurance, learning on the first try what the Lord wants us to do, identifying his will pretty much right away. Identifying what he does want, what he doesn't want. And plus, in addition to that, now we're kind of being a little bit more specific, because overall, we know in the Bible, in his word, he tells us what his will is. For example, that very good practical example you gave of that woman who was asking for prayer because she wanted to marry a man who was already married. So we know off the bat, we know that that's a no-no. We don't have to ask the Lord, is this your prayer? This is your will? No, we know it's not your will. If somebody says, I want to get rid or kill someone, we know that's not God's will, right? And so on and so on. If somebody says, you know, I just don't feel like going to church. You know, I like to just stay home and just do my own thing. Can you pray for me? That no, that's not God's will, because we know God says that we are supposed to be in fellowship with other believers. So there are so many things that in the Bible, we know what God's will is. So we have to start, and this is honestly my personal opinion. Sometimes we want to learn how to identify God's will in those smaller, more personal, specific things, but yet we are not following the big, obvious things yet. And so we want the little things. I want to learn, you know, I want to know which street I'm supposed to turn on, but we are not still obeying where God said, no, I didn't even want you to leave your house at this time. So we have to start obeying God with what's obvious and knowing his voice, which is through his word, the Bible, what's obvious. And then the Lord is going to trust us and guide us into more specific things. Once again, and I know you've mentioned this, why would God continuously invest or teach, well, he's always teaching, but speak to us more things when the things that he already has spoken to us, we're still not obeying it. So let's start listening and obeying the things that we already know that he is speaking to us about, and then he will continue to guide us in more specific things, right?
Amen. That's you're speaking my language, because these are the things that I was thinking to add to this discussion here, is because, you know, many times when people are seeking God for direction, they want to be led by the Spirit, but yet they don't want to be led by the Word. You know, and yet God leads us by both. But the primary way that He leads, the foundation, the way He leads, is what He's already written in the Word. You know, it says, do not commit adultery. This is not something you need to pray about. You know, well, you know, right.
Or do not abort, right? Do not have an abortion.
Exactly. Right? Thou shalt not commit murder.
So we know that that's not something somebody should be praying. I don't know if I should have this baby or if I shouldn't. Of course, if the baby is in the womb, of course that baby is supposed to be born.
Yeah, and obviously they don't understand. Well, maybe they do know the Word, or they're just ignoring it, because sometimes people don't want to obey what the Word says because they're hoping that God is going to give them a different answer, you know. And but I think a lot of people is just ignorant of the Word. When I mean ignorant, I mean lacking knowledge, you know, because there's so much out there. Even when you talk about the subject of abortions, where some not even certain whether this is a human being in the womb until when a certain point in time when it comes out of the womb and breathes air is not a human being before that.
It is a human being.
Obviously it is, because we know that God creates babies in the womb.
Right. And
He doesn't change His mind after He puts the baby in the womb
and
begins to form, and it gets to 9 months and then He changes His mind. No. He doesn't do that. And we know from Scripture, it tells us that, like He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I called you to be a prophet to the nations. So God already ordained who He was going to be. And so it's not anybody's prerogative. Just as your mother shared today in church.
That beautiful message.
That beautiful message about, you know, not being ashamed and afraid to tell somebody that abortion is sin.
That's right.
That it's wrong. We need to be unashamed of the gospel, unashamed of what is true and what is right, and speak the truth, because it's going to change people's lives.
That's right.
So when it comes to, you know, being able to pray in faith, and, you know, getting back to our subject title itself, is faith that believes, it needs to be established on knowledge of the will of God. And that knowledge starts with a relationship with Him. And that relationship starts with the knowledge of His Word, getting to know Him through His Word. So when we're being led by the Holy Spirit of things that may be outside of the Word, in terms of like, hey, Keith, maybe I want you to move to California, which you're not going to find a specific verse in the Bible that tells me specifically to move to California, I'm going to have to get that through the leading of the Holy Spirit. But like you said, you know, and I've said this before in years past, is it's very difficult to get God to speak to you when you're not listening to Him already.
That's true.
You know, if you're not doing the things He already says in the Word to do, then, you know, then why is God obligated to speak to you on whether you should spend that money to buy that new car when you're not even listening to Him on anything else that you're supposed to be doing with your life? Well, Lord, I just want to make sure that I'm not wasting my money on this purchase, because I've heard, you know, certain cars, you know, certain vehicles, you know, don't have reliability. They don't last as long as another. So I need to know whether I should buy this one or should buy that one. Well, maybe He doesn't even want you to buy a new car at all. You know, maybe He doesn't even want you to be in that town where you're living. Maybe He ordained you to be over here in this other state and with this other job. You know, a lot of people are praying to the Lord like they're talking to a personal assistant, that they want Him or them to be able to assist them in doing the things that they want to do.
To bless my plans.
You know, bless my plans, instead of asking, well, what are your plans?
Right.
Well, most Christians, you know, many Christians don't want to pray that kind of prayer.
Right.
So the first step, I say, into establishing the ability to pray in faith is not just establishing what the will of God is on the matter, but setting the foundation to your relationship that you're submitted to Him to do His will. Now, I know we're kind of repeating some of the same things we talked about in the last several podcasts, as the foundation is finding your purpose with God. It's the foundation to this podcast series, you know, our podcast channel, is to get in relationship with Him to follow His will for your life. But as you do that, and we're building blocks here,
that's
true. Building a foundation, building upon this foundation, you're going to have to come to a point where you're going to have to begin to understand and know what the will of God is on the things that you're praying. So, as we said in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, that this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have it. So if you know you're obeying God, because that's where also your confidence comes from, you know you're obeying God, you know you're surrendered and submitted to Him, and you know what the will of God is on the matter, which you're praying, which is very important. Because you're not going to be praying, Lord, should I abort this baby?
No.
Is it your will? You're clearly going to know it's not the will of God. That's murder.
That's right.
Because it says in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs chapter 6, I could be wrong what chapter that's in, but it talks about, the seven abominations before God. And one of them is hands who shed innocent blood.
That's right. That's right.
There's nothing more innocent than a baby in the womb.
That's right.
Who's completely defenseless.
Definitely.
So while we're reiterating this point, it speaks to the broader points of praying and ascertaining the will of God before you pray. So that when you pray something, you should ascertain to the best of your knowledge, what is the will of God on the matter? What does the Word say about that subject? And when you come to know what that is, then you can clearly pray in faith. And that's the kind of faith we're talking about. And I think we'll probably have to do a part two or more on this particular topic.
I think so.
Because there's so much more to be added to this thing. So we're going to kind of close it out here and give you the opportunity to accept the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. Because we always want to extend, an invitation for those who have not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So at this point, I want to turn it back over to my sweetheart and let her do her thing and close this thing out.
Praise God. What a great time. I am so excited about this, and I just feel so honored that God would give us this opportunity to share this word with so many of you. And I know that this is going to the hearts that need to hear it. And we bless the Lord, and we are so thankful for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to specifically guide you with this topic, for we know that everything is in due time and there is a purpose for every topic. I know that many lives are changed and tremendously enriched and transformed by the hearing of this word. And we even encourage you, don't just listen to it once, listen to it again and again. And just pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal and speak to you specifically and just embed this word, this truth, this Rhema word into your spirit, so that today will be a new day for you in His precious holy name. And you know what? There are so many wonderful things that we can learn in the Word of God, so many wonderful Bible stories, so many wonderful characters that we can read about and all those great things. But there is one thing, one main thing in the Bible, and if you do not know this, you don't really know anything. And it's that you and I were made by God, made for God. And we, unfortunately, were separated from Him through sin, through Adam and Eve. But He made a way, and that was through Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross for you and for me. He took upon Himself your sin and my sin. And the Word of God, I'm sure you've heard this verse, it says that God so loved you that He gave Jesus, so that when you, and if you believe in Him, you will not die but have eternal life. There is no reason why you should live your life wondering if you have eternal life with God or not. God has made a way. So we want to invite you and extend that invitation today, now, that you will seriously consider and meditate upon this truth, that God has taken your place on the cross and He wants you to accept the love that He has poured into you and He is offering you. And you just have to say, yes, Jesus, I need you. I believe it that you are the Son of God and you are the only one who can save me from eternal death. You are the only one who can forgive my sins and you are the only one who can make me a brand new being for your glory. If you do that today, now, and just pray that prayer to him sincerely and repent, you will be a brand new person in Jesus Christ. So we want to thank you for this time, and we certainly hope that you will once again listen to this more than once, and not only that, but also share it with friends and families and share the good news with them as well.
Amen, amen. You said it so well, sweetheart. So we want to thank everybody for listening today, and we will talk to you again later. God bless everybody.
God bless. Bye-bye. Amen.